Hi, welcome to Authentic Conversation with Kim. I hope that this podcast finds you well. Hope you guys are doing good. We're like literally 16 days in the new year. And I'm still observing the calm on the sea and stuff like that. Even though the storms are raging, I'm just peeking through to see the waves in the calm. I was thinking about debate and debating. And when I was in school, at some point in my life, when I was in school, I was on a debate team. And it's easy to debate something that you totally believe in wholeheartedly. And it's always easy to find information. And now in our day, you can find information to confirm or to support and to vocalize your ideas. And the thing about debating is always is founded on support, and then it's also the ability to articulate the thought that you're presenting, or the argument rather that you're presenting. And then there's a form of persuasion in it. And I found myself good in debate based on the ability to research and, you know, again, to articulate my thought and to persuade persuade the people who had to choose which side won the debate. And so I was thinking about that because in the last few weeks, or the last week, we've seen, you know, two sides strongly opinionated and, you know, sharing their views on their stance. And then you have facts, right? And a lot of it, you can't argue the facts because facts are facts. And it's just interesting how, you know, things play out based on the parties involved. And so it's just a heightened sense of awareness and the fact that you always have two sides. And I think people used to say, or they say, it's two sides to the story and then there's the truth, right? And then you have us as human beings sitting here opinionated and, you know, being able to surmise the thought of a person or what their agenda was or what their purpose was and what their intent was behind what it is that was seen and what it is that was heard. So you have that part of it. Then you have another part of this persuasive thing, whereas, you know, strongly one can persuade somebody or encourage somebody or propel somebody to act in a way that is nice or not nice. And then you have the part where you have individuals who have the, regardless of whether they was persuaded or enticed or whatever it is, that they have this responsibility, because out of a whole, there are individuals within the whole. That's what makes it a whole, because we all come together as individuals, but we still stand and will stand by ourselves, regardless of whether we were persuaded, whether we were encouraged, whether we were enticed, whether we were tempted, regardless of what it is, for our actions, for our behaviors, for our responses, for our involvement or our non-involvement. And So to me, it's like it's not as clear cut as some would make it seem, because it's like this domino effect. And I think that's why it's so important as leaders, or as people who have a level of influence, or people who have a platform, that they use it for good. You know what I'm saying? Like, use your platform for good and not for evil. You know what I'm saying? Or not for greed, or not for ego, or, you know, not for just a specific group. Like, we have to use these platforms for good, and yet and still you have to be an individual who does not, or will not, or won't gravitate towards something that's not going to be beneficial to you as an individual and to what you represent, if that makes sense. So that's a part of it. But I'm still looking at the ocean, trying to see the waves and, you know, the nice calmness of it. And it's not hard. It's not hard at all. It's just, you know, I guess it comes into that meditating state and just keeping that picture in front of you, and, you know, having that, you know, allowing that emotion to exceed the other emotions that could possibly come in and try to take over. Because when we look at the state of affairs right now, it does not look calming at all. And it does not look nice. It does not look fair. Right. And I know for me in my own personal life, when I'm saying like, oh, that's not fair, that's not right. And, you know, people kind of, you know, make you think that it's a childish statement, and life is not fair. And that's what we're told, to get over that thought of it not being fair, that life is not fair. But there is just some unsettledness in a lot of things, based on the fact that it's double standards, or the fact that, you know, that, you know, some situations that appear to be similar are not dealt with the same. And you ask yourself, why is that? Because again, if it's you, and it's like you don't get the unfairness of it, it's like, okay, well, you're fine. But then when you find yourself in the fact that it's unfair, then it's like, wait a minute, whoa, hold up. And I can't say this enough, that I feel like we need to be people. And when I say this, it's not, it has nothing to do with race. And it's ironically that it is Martin Luther King's celebration time, his birthday, the holiday and stuff like that, and what he represented. And, you know, that we would see each other for the content of our character and not the color of our skin. And it's unfortunate that there are still those on both sides that would look at a person and already surmise what it is that they are, or who they are, or what they can or can't, or what they should or shouldn't, or how they will or will not. You understand what I'm saying? That's what is bugged to me. And I think that we do have to deal with the content of character of the individual, of the morality, of the law, of the legality, of the principles, of justice. You understand what I'm saying? And I guess at this time in our lives, that I want to ask myself, is that just a convoluted statement, or is it even a thought at this time? And it's just really disheartening. And so then I go back to the debating side of it. When we debate things that, you know, irrespective of whether or not you believe in something, you still are able to debate it. Because when we were in debate, it's like you choose a subject or you choose a concern or something like that. And you had a certain amount of time to come up with your argument for it, whether you believed it or not, right? I am a proponent for, I'm pro-choice, right? And then I am totally against the death penalty, right? And yet and still, I can formulate an argument for life, and I can formulate an argument for death. Now, either way, they both would be strong arguments. However, my personal belief or my personal practice is what it is. And I feel, or what's right, right? Because that's basically what people are doing or what we think. It's like, what's the right thing to do? And that would be based on our morality. It would be based on our thought life, our ideologies, our experiences. You know, again, if indeed we are who we say we are, whether it be on paper or whether it be in public or whether it be on a Sunday or whether it be on social media, if we say that we are this and yet and still we are exhibiting certain things when it comes to rules and laws and policies and stuff like that, then that's in question. And so you have, it seems to be, there's a lot of personal conflict with a lot of people, because again, based on what you are said to represent and then what you present, it's like, that's not the same, right? That's not the same, even if you feel like that. Like, I know sometimes I had to tell myself, and I've been told to, like, you think it, but you don't say it, right? And again, like, hallelujah, you know, you have certain things that you would want to do, but you know it's not good. And scripture says you could do anything, but everything is not edifying. And so coming from a biblical place or a believer standpoint, you know, everything befalls human nature. It's nothing that won't befall us. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing that won't come across our desk, but everything we don't have to address or we don't have to deal with in a particular way. And again, until we get our human nature in check, which is designated by our spirits, then again, we're going to continuously have this level of chaos. Another thing that I was thinking about was the fact that, you know, people are in fear. And when people are in fear, their response and their action is either fight or flight most of the time. And, you know, even the anger and the hostility, it's just been built up. And then you think about the pandemic going on, you know. And so it's a lot of what I saw the other day in my mind. It's just a lot of pent up anger and hostility. Now, is it justified anger and hostility? That's to be determined for the individual. However, that's the only thing that I can really perceive with warrant or of what has transpired. And it has gone, and it's not just to a particular group. It's just that people deal with their anger and their hostility and their frustrations differently. And I'm not here to give anybody a pass. I'm not here to give anybody any judgment. You know what I'm saying? I'm just just thinking this out in with myself and with you guys in order to try to get some kind of clarity through the confusion as to how do we move forward from here. You know what I'm saying? Because again, we can't stay in this place. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for humanity. It's not healthy for individuals. It's just not healthy. It's just not a healthy place to be with the division and with the hostility and with the anger and with the frustration, with the hate. Like, it's just not a healthy place to be. And so I think about that moving forward. I also thought about how, you know, because when people see that anything is going on that is not healthy, you know what I'm saying? Either they're going to try to help heal it or they're going to take advantage of it. And that's what I don't want to happen. I don't want us to be taken advantage of because we're not in a healthy place right now. And the fact that it's like ill, like it's just like somebody, you know, out on the road and they... And I've seen this. This is a while. I haven't seen it in a while. Thanks be to God. But I've seen it where people are having domestic disputes publicly. And it's just not a good look. And lo and behold, they may remain together. They may stay together. They may go in the house and work it out or whatever. Police officers, whoever may be called in, you know, because it's a domestic dispute or whatever. But we're having a domestic dispute, a public domestic dispute. And somehow, like, it has to be rectified in a way where we're not bringing harm to ourselves, because that leaves us vulnerable to those that are onlooking. And that is a concern for me personally. That's a personal concern for me. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing new under the sun. You understand what I'm saying? We had this unrest, and we had unrest during the civil rights movement. But that was between citizens. Now this is a whole different level of unrest, and we've seen this in other countries, but other countries are not in the way have a constitution or constituted the way we are. And so it's going to be intriguing in how all of this plays out. And I've had my conversations with people. I know you guys are having a conversation. We're having a conversation right now for the most part. But I genuinely am concerned. You understand what I'm saying? I'm really concerned, because it's like, if this doesn't happen, then that will possibly happen. If that happens, then this could possibly happen. And so we really have to be mindful and strategic and thoughtful about how we proceed with proceedings and with decisions, and then walking it out, you know. And it's just, the English language is just so profoundly beautiful, and the fact that you can actually formulate words to convey that in which you feel and what you think, and therefore can convince somebody and or persuade somebody or misdirect or mislead or whatever an individual. And then that individual, based on their information and knowledge or whatever, you know, will decide to go along, not go along, whatever. And even in written language, right? And some of us speak better than we write. Some of us write better than we speak. Some of us, you know, are just overall fluent in all the fundamentals of communication. And again, I find it interesting that when it's time like these, that we can quote people emphatically. We can be philosophical. We can be biblically, scripturally driven. We can find these words to convey that in which is currently being stated or currently happening. You know, somebody asked me yesterday, as a matter of fact, that how is this playing out based on the Bible? And there was a couple of scriptures and stuff that came to my mind. And I just wanted to be a little bit more straight and concrete to the individual. And I mentioned this before, because I was like, you got a Bible in your house, right? And being kind of, you know, funny, whatever. But that I can't assume that one does. And then I was like, it didn't even matter, because you can pull up a Bible on your phone, on the internet or whatever, like, would not a problem. But a couple of scriptures did come to my mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3 came to my mind. Then I know that when the inception with the pandemic had began, you know, it was 2 Chronicles chapter 7 had been resignated continuously, and still continuously is being resignated throughout the religious sphere. And then you have, oh my goodness, what was that other scripture? Then you have Psalm 91 that came to play. And, you know, we as believers, people of faith, you know, we gravitate to the Word of God, because that's supposed to be our blueprint, our compass as to what's going on. And so I found myself thinking about a lot of things, and thinking about scripture, and thinking about God, and thinking about the world, and thinking about the country, and just thinking about it. And it's just really like heavy on my heart, because this is a big deal. It's a lot going on, from your own household to the big house, to the White House, to the, you know what I'm saying, to God's house. Like, it's just a lot going on each tier, on each level. And I don't think that they are mutually exclusive. I feel like they all somehow come together or work together or have something to do with one another, like that 6 degrees of separation. And to act as if, you know, what they do doesn't affect what I do or what you do or what, you know, if there is some kind of impact, and whether it's great or small is to be determined, but it's still a level of impact. And I don't think that for a short period of time, I don't think that that was factored in. And thus why a lot of the stuff is happening now. And I'm not just talking about over the last few years. I'm talking about over decades. And at this point, it's like we're here now, right? So the question for me and what I would propose is like, how do we move forward from here? How do we move in a place of harmony? How do we move in a place of love? How do we move in a place of understanding? How do we move in a place of good game? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we move forward? So those are some of the things that I was thinking about. I was celebrating people today, birthdays, a couple of people's whose birthdays just are on today's date. And so I was just giving them a shout out and wishing them a happy birthday. And then I had a little, I went back into the archives of my hip hop and my R&B and was listening to that and thinking about how back in the days, how we used to be in a club and just, I love to dance and just dancing and having a good time and being safe and realizing that that ain't happening now. I mean, I don't know if people are clubbing now. Like, even like I've been not clubbing, but I'm like, I don't even know what that looks like. Is that with masks? Like, what are we doing? Because somebody told me they went to a hookah bar or whatever, and so I'm like, ew, like what a ew. Like, I mean, if y'all doing it, just be safe, but ew. And then they talk about, well, the you could take off one thing and put another thing on or whatever. I don't even know what that's all about, but ew. Like, ew. And that's the thing, like, everything is ill right now, and I don't know. We were talking about getting back to, like, this is the new norm. We already established, like, this is the new norm. You're wearing masks, you're 6 feet, like, that's just what it is. I don't think we're ever gonna go back to anything other than that, you know. But again, that, you know, what has now affected, or effected, it's not affected, but effected the whole, and yet and still the whole is divided. It's like a math thing. Like, you got this big old circle, and then you got this, it's a pie chart, and then you got this here, 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 and then this here, this here. You got all these parts. And I do know that scripture clearly says a house divided can't stand. And I've mentioned this on several different occasions. And I remember and I recall that we started with one party, and then we got two parties, and then other people wanted parties. It's the same thing as the church. Like, we started with one denomination, and now you got all these different variations of faith-based organizations. And again, they may very well be doing well. I mean, you think about the sororities and fraternities. We have our different groups, but our goal and our mission and our mission is all the same, even though we are working from different branches. And so, but what we have right now is the goal is not the same. You understand what I'm saying? The values are not even the same. And that's where the division comes in at. And so I constantly ask them, like, how do we, are we ever, if it will, ever get to a place where we're valuing the same thing, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? You know, are we valuing, you know, honesty and morality and safety and protection? You know, are we caring for the widow? You know, the poor? Like, these things are these values to the whole? And if it's not value to the whole, then again, who makes the decision what the value is going to be, or what's going to be on the agenda, and how is it going to be executed in order for it to be beneficial for even that section of what it is that you're standing for today? Or is it going to be, okay, we value this, but we don't really value that, but we'll get to that later because you value it. You know what I'm saying? Like, even in that, like, okay, well, it may not be our top priority, but it's a priority because the people who we work with made it a priority, and so we're going to address it when it needs to be addressed at the appropriate time, where no one gets to be ignored and no one gets to be left behind. Because to my understanding, like, that is a military stance. Like, no one gets left behind, and we support that. And yet and still, it doesn't matter if people get left behind. It don't matter. Like, I mean, even in the Bible, in scripture, like, if 99 is here and one get lost, you lead the 99 and you go for the one. And so I don't even know if that's naivety to me in the state of affairs in this world right now. You know, this is it just, you know, a jungle thing and, you know, eat or be eaten kind of thing? Like, I don't know. And so I mean, and I'm having conversations with people and I'm listening to this stuff and it sounds really good, right? Some of it sounds very good and very persuasive and you can shake your head and you can give an amen on both sides. On both sides, because it's tickling your fancy, or you know, you ain't never like them no way, and you ain't never like them, and they ain't never like you, or whatever it is. And it sounds so clear cut and so easy, and this is your stance, and then that's just what it is. However, you know, we have to individually decide, and I've heard them, everybody's talking about decisions, and I mentioned this before too. But decide what's the right thing to do. And because, again, if we do certain things, like we set precedents for certain behaviors and certain things. So we knew at some inception, like if you, like, you spare the rod, you spoil the child kind of thing. You know, if I continue to allow you to do this, 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 and this, and this, you going to feel like that's okay. I just mentioned this the other day and I was talking about relationships, you know, and I was talking about relationships. And so again, that's a thought. And then I get like, for me, I was getting ready to say girl, but y'all, I am a proponent for mercy. I am a proponent for mercy. I'm a proponent for grace. You know, scripture clearly tells us to forgive. I'm a proponent for forgiveness. I am. And so I don't get to say what anybody's going to do because I don't have no gavel. I'm not sitting in nobody's chambers. I don't get to make any particular decisions. You understand what I'm saying? So then my stance as a believer, as a citizen, you know, is to just pray that God's will be done. And I find, one, that's the hardest prayer to pray. You know, Jesus was in Gethsemane before he went to the cross, and he came to go to the cross, but he didn't want to go to the cross, you know, because he had got all these relationships, and you know, he gotta go and have to feel this pain, and you know, it's just gonna be excruciating. You know, they gonna spit on him, they gonna put thorns, and he knew what was gonna occur, and he wanted to avoid that, and yet and still he knew he had to endure that for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the whole, for the whole. And so, you know, and I don't feel like we say that enough, but I guess that comes with a level of, you know, growing. Because even for me, when I say your will be done, it could be the cross. You know what I'm saying? Your will be done could be no. You know what I'm saying? I want this. And you like, no, Kim, that's not the best thing for you. So I'm going to say no. And I'm like, oh, hallelujah. But your will be done. You know, and so that is what my stance is at this point in all of this, because if I believe, or a believer believes, or we promote that God knows and sees all, right, and that he knew before we knew all the stuff that would be occurring, and that the world, the word says, or we say, I don't know if it's in the Bible, but I believe it to be a song. I know, you know, he has the whole world in his hands. And for somehow, God has been very merciful to mankind. Very merciful to us. Because he's a holy God. And if any one of us was to look in our closet, or to go back into our history, or to go back into our mind, we would find something, even if it's just one thing, that God was merciful for us with. You know, we would see that God was gracious to us. And so I look at that, that he forgave us for something, that even in our relationships where we faltered and felt, that we received forgiveness. But we've also, he said, who he loves, he chastens. You know, he pats on the tookie, took. you know what I'm saying, in order to straighten us out, because he does not desire that any should perish. And the scripture says that men continue in their sins because they're not readily dealt with. And I mentioned this at some point before, you know, that they continue in their sins because it's not really dealt with. And I was saying this the other day, I really don't believe that we believe that there is some level of judgment. There is some level of Jesus coming back. There is some level of he's going to have to deal with each and every one of us based on what we've done, how we've done it, how we've dealt with things in this life, and the people that he entrusted us with. And granted, I get it. You know, nobody knows what heaven is like. Nobody knows what heaven is like, what hell is like on this side of heaven and hell. Nobody knows. And so you just going to run wild. You just going to do all the damn that you want to do. And you going to be all crazy. And you going to make the decisions for right now. Not thinking about tomorrow. Not thinking about eternity. Not thinking about heaven or hell. I get it. I totally get it. And for those who think about it, it's like, oh, you doing the most. Why you thinking about that or whatever, you know. And I just was playing this song, Live Your Life. You know what I'm saying? Live your life. But isn't that a part of it? Isn't that a part of it? And then the fact about it is, and I saw them, and again, I heard the speeches, I heard on both sides, and I mean, one sound to be really factual and dealing with stuff, and everyone appeared for the most part to have a level of articulation. And so the debate. The debate. And that's what we've been doing. And you have some people, you know, strongly opposing. You have some people strongly supporting. You understand what I mean? But that's democracy. And you get that. But even in that strongly opposing and strongly supporting, there has to be a foundational base for both parties to govern their character, to govern their moral, to govern, you know, what it is best. And I would think that would be content of character. You know what I'm saying? I would think that would be content of character and not the color of skin. I would think it would be based on legality, you know, rightfully doing that. I mean, that's why we have it established, because if we didn't have those things established as far as character, moral, if we didn't have those things established, then it would totally be anarchy, and there would be no pulling on your coattail. There would be no accountability, and then that means that mankind would be left to his own devices, and that would not be good for any individual in the whole. You know what I'm saying? Or for the whole. And so, those are my thoughts on today. Again, we halfway in the month of the new year. And thankful for that. You guys remain safe, blessed. Imagine my face.